Utah, I read that your parents were both basketball players. I believe your sister as well. Is that where the love of the sport came for you? And it's kind of strange, maybe from the outside looking in, to think of Japan and especially Tokyo, the love of baseball. But where do you think that love of basketball came for, your family, right on down to you?
Yeah, so like you say, I grew up in a basketball family, so just playing basketball is like, like it's, I mean, studying basketball is like super, like really natural for me. Like I didn't think about to play like any other sports, so I just grew up playing only basketball. I actually don't know how my parents got into the basketball. I never asked them, or I never really like wondered or anything. So but I started basketball before my sister did. My sister used to play volleyball actually, and then then she started basketball a little bit later. But I don't know how my parents got into basketball actually.
It's funny to think here you are an NBA player now. You've never asked your parents what brought them to the sport or what drew them in as fans, let alone as players or to be so inspired by the game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was because I like to me that like I mean basketball is like kind of like only option. Like I said, I didn't like think about any other sports, so I thought my parents felt the same way. But I guess I gotta ask them tonight or tomorrow morning. Yeah.
When you're growing up and it becomes clear at whichever age it was that you're pretty darn good and you maybe have a future at this, and then you start, going down the path of making the decision to come over to the United States, to North America, and to go to Connecticut in 2013, how difficult was that decision for you, for your family to make, and what ultimately led you to Connecticut specifically and to go to school there?
Yeah, that was a really tough decision to make. Obviously, I couldn't speak any English. I didn't know anyone. So I mean, that was really tough. But I always wanted to play in the basketball in the U.S. I wanted to play in a higher level, and to be an NBA player was always my dream. So, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to come to US, and my dad's friend was the head coach of St. Thomas More Prep School in Connecticut. So that's how I got connected to St. Thomas More Prep School. And my dad's friends told me that it's great school, great coach, they do a great job. Sending player to Division One school, so that's how I went there.
Now, is that Jerry Quinn that you're speaking about?
Yes, Jerry
Yeah.
Quinn. He's the head coach of St. Thomas More.
So now he had some sort of partnership program or training program with if I'm telling the story correctly or recounting it with schools in Japan. Is that how you got linked up then through your dad's friend?
No, actually. So that program, they were sending players to South Kent Prep School, I believe, when I was in Japan. But so I did not use that program, and I just went to St. Thomas More Prep School just because, like I said, my dad's friend was a friend with Coach Quinn. And I think the program switched to a St. Thomas More after I went to St. Thomas More.
Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting. Maybe you help start lead things then
I guess.
for young Japanese players. I want to ask you about that a little bit later on. But you were mentioning, coming over to North America, coming to the United States without speaking English. How difficult was the transition for you, especially at a young age? For I mean, listen, at any age, I've got to assume it's difficult. But for a young man to be coming over, a teenager coming over, and trying to adjust to new culture, new life, new language, new country, new everything, not only on the floor, Yuta, but off the floor, everything. How challenging was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, on the floor, I mean, it was better, you know. I was just, you know, could play basketball, but off the floor, you know, I got to go to school, you know, I got to communicate with, like, you know, people and everything. So that was, like, really tough. But, you know, I was really fortunate to have great teammates, great friends, great coaches who always, you know, be around me. And even though I couldn't speak English, they are, like, always trying to help me. And, you know, like, even I couldn't speak, they always, like, make sure I understand like everything they say. So that was I'm really fortunate. I have those type of people around me.
Is it kind of the language of basketball then, when you were on the floor, as you say, more challenges off the floor, but on the floor it's just body language and reading eyes, let alone eventually learning the language? You just knew where to be, you knew what was expected because you just knew the game.
Yeah, and also we use in Japan, like, we use English words when we play basketball, you know, like shoot, rebound, dribble, pass, like we use that words too. So you know, being on the court is a lot easier than being off the court.
I didn't know that. I was in with the Raptors, what is it now, 2 years ago, or before the beginning of last season when we went to Tokyo, and I was just marveling at how intense the popularity was and how rabid, crazy the fans were for the sport. Has that been an adjustment for you to think about, now you're here, you're in North America, you're hopefully eventually going to be back up here in Toronto next season, but to think about how popular you were and how much more popular you are now as a member of the Raptors, and especially now in the last little while since signing the official contract as well, and knowing that your stock and that popularity is rising. How strange is that for you to kind of think of being a household name throughout Japan?
Well, I'm not that popular yet, though.
You are.
You know, basketball is getting bigger, but I think you mentioned it. Baseball is the biggest sport in Japan. I think soccer comes next. And maybe basketball is like third, or maybe like even fourth or fifth. So, I mean, I think a lot of people start paying more attention to the basketball. I think more people start watching NBA. Basketball is not that popular yet. So hopefully, you know, like me, Rui, playing the NBA help the growth in Japan's basketball.
So I feel like you're being a little bit humble, because part of the reason I ask about the popularity, and I'm sure you've been told this or you've heard this yourself, you have the number one selling jersey in Japan. I mean, with due respect to you, it's not LeBron James, it's not Kevin Durant, it's not Giannis Antetokounmpo, it's Yuta Watanabe as the number one jersey. That alone tells me you're extremely popular back home. So when you go back home, I don't know when that next chance will be for you, or when the last time you were home. Are you able to have a normal life? Can you visit with family and friends, or is it like a Jordan-like experience? You're mobbed in the streets. What's it like for you?
It's not like a Jordan-like. But yeah, I guess like when I walk down the street, I would say like many people realize me. But I think still, like, so the reason I was number one selling the jersey in Japan was like I switched the team this year, and that was a new jersey for me. So last year, Rui was number one. So I'm sure, like, next season, I don't know if I'm gonna be number one again, because, like, you know, hopefully, like, I'm staying in the Raptors, and you know, I'm still wearing the same jersey. So I don't know how many people will buy like another jersey for me, but we'll see. We'll see.
Just stay with one team, but just change the number every year, right? Then it needs to be a different number.
Yeah, maybe that'll work.
You just experienced as a teammate what Chris Boucher and Kem Birch went through with Montreal and facing Lou Dort. You mentioned Rui. I'll ask you a couple of questions on this, but first off, how special is it going to be for you to hopefully finally have that moment to go up against him in the NBA? Because we've had two opportunities already come and go where both of you, for various reasons, were hurt and out of the lineup. But, you know, fingers crossed here that you can actually square off in early May and to have that opportunity to share the floor together.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be special for sure. I'm really excited. You know, I talked to Rui about it. He's really excited too. It was unfortunate that we both had an injury. So, hopefully next game, you know, we can be like really healthy and we can be on the court together, compete against each other. And, you know, I mean, that's going to be really special. And I think a lot of Japanese people is going to watch that game. So I think that's going to make Japan basketball more popular and bigger.
I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Chris last night when I did the post-game interview with him. Have you had a chance to think about the impact that you're making, you and Rui, but I'm talking to you, the impact you're making on young Japanese fans, boys and girls, that are watching you right now, that are watching the Raptors, and that are going to be watching the Olympic Games, and where this could kind of lead Japanese basketball for the years and for the generations to come, to have role models like you and Rui kind of blazing the trail for so many young kids.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like when I was a kid, like I said, I've been always dreaming to NBA players, but when I say that, like, people are laughing at me, you know, like people say, oh, that's impossible. Like you were Japanese, like, you know, like people say stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully like me, Rui, playing NBA is making, you know, make like all the kids to feel like, you know, oh, I can be an NBA player because like Utah is doing, Rui is doing it. You know, I hope a lot of kids can now say, you know, I want to be an NBA player like loud, you know, because that's possible. Anything is possible.
You know, we talk in this country, in Canada, or we did for so many years, about the impact that Vince Carter had on Canadian basketball and the generations of Canadian players that came. Now, with no disrespect intended to Vince, it's now this generation. There's so many Canadians that are playing that, you know, is it the impact of Jamal Murray or is it Chris Boucher or is it Andrew Wiggins? And the list goes on. So many Canadian players in the game today. Do you think that it gets to the point one day, or is that your dream perhaps to have that type of impact where it's not just a couple of Japanese players, where there are five, there are 10, there are 20, and it becomes the global game that much more?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I really hope so. You know, I mean, right now only two of us play in NBA, but like I said, you know, I hope like 5, 10, 20, I mean, that's going to be great. And, you know, I really hope that's going to happen.
We joked off the top that you didn't really know where your parents' love for basketball came and you got your love from your parents, but who was your guy, or who were a couple of your guys, your inspirations growing up watching the game when you finally said, like, this is a game I love, this is what I want to do? Who were your favorite players and your role models?
So I grew up watching a lot of Kobe Bryant. You know, he's the reason why I say, like, I want to be an NBA player. You know, that was like, so my dad was like, he's like big NBA fan. So he used to watch a lot of games. And, you know, I was like too little to watch it. But I started playing basketball and I started like getting understand more basketball. And then I watched the NBA game with my dad, and that was a Lakers game. And I watched Kobe Bryant, and I was like, yeah, I want to be like this guy. I want to be an NBA player. So yeah, I grew up watching a lot of Kobe Bryant.